Hi there, this is Nick Savvides. You're listening to the N. Savvides Podcast. This is a show where we talk about the art of collaboration, of doing great, imaginative, creative things, and doing those things well with others. Our guest today is Chesley Himesfield. She's the executive director of the Louisiana International Film Festival, and that's coming up in just a few days from April 13th to the 17th. Right here in Baton Rouge. Chesley highlights some of the notable films and events at the festival, but she also has some suggestions that might be of interest to those of you who can't make it. We talk about how to make a big impression at Sundance, how to interact with filmmakers and actors who come to these festivals, even how to approach sponsors to bring them into our projects. The Louisiana International Film Festival has a notable track record of picking compelling films that go on to win awards or get some kind of accolades. Their first film at the inaugural year of the festival back in 2013 opened with 28 Feet from Stardom. That film went on to win Best Documentary in the Oscars that year. And similarly, they've shown other films throughout the years like Brooklyn that go on to get nominated for a couple awards. So it's interesting and noteworthy to pay attention to these films and see what will come of them. So even if you can't make it to the festival, I think there's something you'll still take away from our discussion. Without further ado, our interview with Chesley Himesfield coming up next. Stick around.
This is the N. Savvides Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast, Chesley Himesfield. You're someone who's done a lot of traveling. You've gotten to attend different festivals around the world. Have there been any moments at those festivals where you thought, hey, you know, this is pretty neat what they're doing. I'd like to do something like this at some point.
Absolutely. I always enjoyed going to film festivals, and I never had the foresight that I would end up creating one, but I always liked going to them because it was a place where you could meet other people who are filmmakers that are up and coming, talent, but it's still very formal at the same time. And I just enjoyed the opportunity that film festivals provide for people who are trying to get into the film industry. So it's something that I've been very fortunate that I've been able to attend different ones around the world many times, like Cannes Film Festival, which is in the south of France. It's really beautiful. It's one of the foremost film festivals in the world. It was actually founded during World War II, which just goes to show you that even if you have a hard economic time or a war, that good things can still come from within those ashes.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't know about that.
Exactly. And now it's, you know, one of the, or if not the best film festival in the world. And so that was really founded by a bunch of community members from Cannes, France, after World War II. And so it was a very trying time, and they created something very beautiful out of that. And then I've also been to the Berlin Film Festival in Berlin, Germany, and it was very interesting tapestry of people from all over the world and premieres of films. It's a really great place to go for a film market and also to meet people, go to panels. And it's just a wide array of people from Europe as well, which is really interesting. And Berlin, the city itself, is also really amazing and has such a deep history to it. And then I've been to the Los Angeles Film Festival, which is in downtown LA. I've been to Tribeca, which is in New York, and again, founded after 9/11 in New York by Robert De Niro, who wanted to try and reinvigorate downtown Manhattan. So there, you know, a lot of times you really can, again, build from either a difficult economic time or a tragedy, as long as you have, you know, a vision and you keep it very positive and you don't lose sight of your focus. Also, Sundance Film Festival, which is probably my favorite American film festival, in Park City, Utah, for the past 4 years have hosted a Louisiana film and music party. And this past year, we had one with over 1,500 people attend at Park City Live, which is the largest venue on Main Street. We kind of pull together all these different people to give a taste of Louisiana talent even if we're in New York City, bring that Louisiana culture. You know, even though you might be attending another film festival, you can still bring the talent from your state and represent it at that public world forum. And so there's just a lot of malleability and opportunity when it comes to film festivals as a showcase and as a great way to make an introduction. Actually, the first year we were at Sundance, we had the privilege to have John Batiste and Stay Human Band perform our Second Line Parade up Main Street in Park City, this old Western mining town. And then, of course, he's gone on now to be on that show with Stephen Colbert as the band leader. So it's really fun to be with people in the beginning and watch them grow.
Well, since you mentioned that, the outreach to Sundance is something you all have done consistently. I want to say you did that pretty much from the start of when you founded Louisiana International Film Festival. So talk a little bit about the challenge of setting up a special memorable event that you all do year after year, and maybe the thinking behind that.
Exactly. So you are correct, Nick. We actually had our event at Sundance to launch the Louisiana International Film Festival before we ever had the film festival. So it was just a really great way to create a spotlight on what we're doing. And so I felt it was appropriate to be able to use, again, the stage that they have created is a way of just shining a light on the people in the state here in Louisiana. And they've been very hospitable to us. So we've been able to go for 4 years. And each year we have a different theme. The first year was Mardi Gras. And the second year we did Voodoo Love. And then we did Midnight Masquerade, which was a later evening party. And everyone came in their masks. And then this year we did a Mardi Gras Madness, Mardi Gras Masquerade theme. So it's really fun to kind of be creative each year and keep people guessing. So, you know, so we've been able to create kind of an identity that goes along with Louisiana and that people really have come to adore.
Do you hear people saying like, hey, you know, I saw you guys at Sundance. It made me want to come and check out the festival here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had so many people when we were at our past event that not only say they want to attend or become a sponsor or teach a workshop, but they're interested in very unconventional types of partnerships. So that could mean facilitating a mentorship or an internship with students from Louisiana. And then it becomes contingent upon us and reliant upon us to actually be able to get the grant funding to make those opportunities feasible for the people here. So our job is not only to create those interests, which we do with people in the industry, but then to be able to facilitate them and match them with the right people in the state. People are not even only interested in coming to the Louisiana International Film Festival, but they're interested in the big picture of us representing Louisiana in film. And so they say, who do I talk to if I want to come to the state and film? Or what's the difference between Shreveport and Lafayette? Or who do I need to hire? We had so many people this year approach us. It's really overwhelming. And so it's great that there's that kind of a response. But now our job is to be able to fulfill it, which means getting more grant funding to make those opportunities available to people in Louisiana.
I could be wrong. I want to say your events at Sundance might be the second biggest thing you all do. I mean, they seem like they're pretty large scale productions that you're putting on out there.
They really are. I would say they're pretty much equal to the film festival in
the amount of work that it takes and whatnot.
Correct. The amount of work, but also in pulling together all of our different people who then once they're initiated for Sundance, that's kind of the gateway to us working on the film festival. So that's how we all really launch everything. So our programmers come from California to watch the films. You know, we've had our event planner, Heather Day, came out and put on a great show. We had live painting artists, TJ Black and Alex Harvey, drive up from Louisiana to Utah. So we had Samantha and Cody Carroll from Hot Tails and Sacalot Restaurant in New Orleans. They came out with their entire crew and provided food. Also with Sean Rivera from Foodie Patootie. And so it's the effort in terms of bringing together a wide group of people who represent a lot of different cultural elements in Louisiana to make a smash event. And that does take a lot of effort, but that effort continues from that point on through the film festival.
It's almost like you all are putting on a little mini festival out in Sundance. So do you have any practical tips to filmmakers and some of our other creative types who are listening who might want to do, to plan for doing some kind of an outreach at Sundance?
Absolutely. I mean, we are always happy to talk to people who want to attend with us, either as volunteers or even if they want to attend the film festival but still be a part of what we're doing. There were actually 20 students who came up this year from LSU that are in their film program there. So it can become it's a group thing, you know, and so we invite and we encourage people to reach out to us if they're interested in coming with us and representing themselves and their talent.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about this year's lineup for the Louisiana International Film Fest in just a moment. But one of the places you worked at was Stan Winston Studios, the legendary effects house. So I was wondering if you had any stories that you want to share with us about your time there.
Stan Winston was an amazing phenomenon. He was really one of the pioneers for animatronics in the film industry. So I'm sure you would recognize his work from films like Terminator, Edward Scissorhands,
Jurassic Park, and classic special effects guy.
Right, exactly. And so he was really a pioneer in that world. And so he was very interesting, very smart, novel man. And I did have the privilege to be able to meet him before he sadly passed away. And he had such a cool toy shop. You know, you went in to go to his boardroom and it was filled with all of these relics from these classic movies that were the originals. And I was actually working with Stan Winston Studios' digital media side, representing that company for work on commercials. And so we would represent basically their visual effects firm to get work as an agent. And so, you know, you kind of learn a lot about filmmaking when you work on the tangential pieces that aren't necessarily just being an actor or just being a producer, but when you reach out and you work in all these kind of different gray areas that not everyone knows about. And you really get to find out a lot about how the film industry works overall and all the different moving pieces. And so I actually also was working at one point with Scott Ross, who is a founder of Digital Domain, and on an animated feature project that I was producing. He was partners with James Cameron and Stan Winston starting Digital Domain. And so those are just three incredible pioneers, and they kind of bring together these different elements to make something incredible. And I think that really is a hallmark of the film industry is just getting the brightest and the best and the innovative thinkers together in one room. And that's always something that's been fascinating to me. And I think that's why a film festival has so much appeal, is because that is a place where you can congregate and create.
All right. Well, speaking of festivals, the Louisiana International Film Fest, LIFF, is coming up soon. So tell us about some of the highlights, some of the films or events that you're excited about this year.
Sure. We have so many awesome things coming up this year. We really invite everyone to come out and enjoy them with us. So we have a 5-day film festival this year, Nick. So
5. Wow. That's a step up for you all, right?
I know. So so we're going to do Wednesday, April 13th through Sunday, April 17th. And it's all going to be hosted at Cinemark Perkins Row, and which is very conveniently located. You can park, you can stay for the day, you can go to restaurants, and you can do all kinds of stuff. So we have over 50 films that we're going to be screening from all over the world. And some of these are movies that you would never either see otherwise, that might never come to the screen, or films that you're getting to watch for the first time in Louisiana before they come out in the commercial box office. So it's a great chance to be, again, a part of the film industry, which is distribution. And as an audience member, you're getting to experience that, even though it's not the main thrust of the film production. It's kind of the after effect of making a movie. So we have a few special presentations. Miss Sharon Jones! Which is directed by Barbara Koppel, and she's an Academy Award-winning film director for documentary films. And this is really a portrait of a soul singer, Sharon Jones, as she battles cancer, develops a new album, and readies herself for a world tour. So it should be a really interesting, soulful film. We have Norman Lear, just another version of You, which is with George Clooney and Jay Leno, Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner, and a bunch of other great people. And it's meeting the creative force behind the hit shows like All in the Family, Maude and the Jeffersons, in this warm, insightful film chosen to open this year's Sundance Film Festival. We have Embrace the Serpent, which is set in the Colombian Amazon and inspired by the journals of two German explorers, traces the journey of a shaman and his unlikely travel companions in a search of a rare psychedelic medicinal herb, which I would love to find that.
Wouldn't we all, right?
Yeah, actually, I need to go watch that. So that's The Embrace of the Serpent. That sounds cool. We have documentary films, Ingrid Bergman in Her Own Words, which is with Sigourney Weaver. And this is, of course, about the famous actress Ingrid Bergman. We have Lo and Behold, Reveries of the Connected World by director Werner Herzog. And we've screened his films before the festival. And the droll, tech-phobic Herzog, who has traveled to Antarctica and the Amazon to capture our innermost dreams and fears, now explores the outer limits of the digital universe, pro and con, tracking the internet's origin from a classroom at UCLA through its present-day dark side into a future of robot cars and intergalactic tourism. The film is both scary and thrilling in its implications. And then maybe you will have a robot helping you do this show someday.
Yeah. I mean, if you can give us advanced tech previews of that, that would be cool.
We could, if we could know the future.
What are the robots? Yeah. All right. So quite the lineup. What about some of the special guests or panels or events? Can you tell us anything about that?
We do have on Wednesday night, April 13th, we're going to do a special presentation of Giving Birth in America, with Christy Turlington Burns in attendance, and she's the filmmaker and also a maternal health advocate. And I'm sure you know her from her career, previous career as a model.
You're so sure about that. Like, obviously,
don't
Nick,
you
know, I'm not as well-versed on my models as I should be. I need to get better at that. It's probably someone whose face I might recognize. I don't know.
You stopped at Baywatch, didn't you? What happened?
I mean, yeah, you know, I'm still a child of the 80s at heart. So, I mean, what can you say?
I could see that. Yeah. I get it. And then we'll have also other celebrity attendees and special guests, filmmakers that we can announce in the coming week or two.
All right, cool. You'll have done some memorable things in the past. I mean, you had a little orchestra play right in Perkins Row. You brought in some art installations from elevator projects and the like. Are there some of the things from the past festivals that were really special moments for you?
Absolutely. I loved the symphony performance. That was really incredible, where we had a 70-piece symphony perform and play hit movie scores. And I had requested Indiana Jones. And of course, David Torrens, my friend and the conductor, waited until the last song to play that one.
Uh-huh. So you're like, come on, like the one song I requested. I mean, I'm putting this on. Can you not give me something here? Were you nervous? Were you like, is he not going to do this? Does he not care about me or what?
I was like, come on, you need to, that should be every song.
Yeah.
It's so great. And then we actually, this year, we're playing a film that is nostalgic for Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's called Raiders, and it's about 3 11-year-olds in Mississippi who decided to remake Raiders of the Lost Ark scene by scene with a Super 8mm camera. And after 7 turbulent years that tested their resolve, strained their friendship, and nearly burned down the house, they had shot every scene except one, the airplane scene. 33 years later, the friends reunite to finish their childhood dream.
Is so this a fiction or nonfiction?
It's a documentary, actually.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like that'll be fun.
And so we're going to replicate the live music performances. So every night during the festival from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, we have a gala reception. Every night we have a gala film premiere at 7:30, which is a centerpiece for that day. Then from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock, we have the gala after party, and there will be live music for all the gala after parties. And if you get a VIP pass, which is $150, you can actually attend unlimited screenings. You can also have benefits for food and drinks and at all of our gala receptions and our after parties for 5 days. So it's a pretty good deal. And then on Thursday, April 14th, we are going to do a really awesome performance with the LSU Marching Band.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
It's 6 o'clock at CentiMark Perkins Row.
So are they going to be marching around? Or are they going to be stationary?
Oh, yeah, they're totally going to march.
Oh, of course. You got to, right? It's a marching band.
March.
It's like, that's in the name, you would think. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to march it. And then it should be really fun because it's always cool to do kind of pop-ups like that where people least expect it. And it's such a perfect venue for it. So if you want to come out and see the LSU Marching Band and the Golden Girls perform, this is your chance to see them live and in person up close at 6 o'clock on Thursday, April 14th at CentiMark Perkins Row.
And people can actually touch them as opposed to just seeing them from a distance. Not that we'd encourage you to do that, but you know, people could go and poke them or something.
They could poke you, Nick.
Yeah.
But really, it's cool because I think that experiencing things like that that are typically out of touch, right? So like a symphony performance you see from the nosebleed balcony, at least I do, or a LSU marching band you see on the field, which is so far away. And I think it's pretty cool and indicative of having a film festival that you get a chance to be really ingrained with the people who are the performers and the artist.
Yeah, you get that up close and personal experience. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, a film festival is a chance to interact with a number of people, from other film enthusiasts to special guests, maybe directors or actors, producers. It could be a really big event for someone.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you have for people to navigate the festival experience and really get the best out of it?
Well, first you have to know exactly what you want before you come to a film festival. Otherwise, it could seem a bit overwhelming. So, you know, are you coming because you want to watch the films and, you know, come to the movies with your friend and go have lunch? Or do you want to come and hear live music after? Or do you want to do both? You know, and kind of identifying what you would like to do before you come each day. On Friday, we actually have a really awesome opportunity for students to be able to attend the film festival for free. So on Friday, April 15th, you can actually go to the CentiMark box office and show your valid student ID to get a free ticket to any movie in the festival on that Friday. And during the day on Friday, all day from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., we'll actually have workshops and master classes that will be free and open to the public.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds like a good opportunity for the kids. Speaking of the kids, I saw you mention somewhere that The Goonies is one of your favorite films, or a film of interest from that period. So let's suppose that you're talking to some of the kids from The Goonies, outside our quirky kids, and they're like, oh, you know, the festival sounds cool, but I don't know, what am I going to do? How would you talk to them about navigating the festival? What tips would you give The Goonies characters?
Well, I would say, guys, let's huddle over here and tell me, where are we going to find all the gold? Let's work on that. That would be my number one.
There you go. Good approach. It sounds like you're speaking their language. So good.
Find the gold. And, you know, it's really cool because a lot of young people really do come. And this is a chance for them to be adults. And I think in the movie Goonies, they kind of always had this challenge of, we're young kids, but we want to be taken seriously. And, you know, we're kids and we want to solve an adult problem and we want to prove to the world who we are. And actually, I think one of them, you know, Chunk, is now an entertainment attorney. So he is being taken very seriously. But in line with that, is the same thing. You can come as a kid, but you can leave as an adult. We will treat you the same all day. In our eyes, you know, all ages are the same. And so, of course, there are different ratings for different films. So just, you know, be aware, and everything will be marked on there if there's anything explicit. But kids can actually come and act like an adult. They can choose the films. They can come with their parents. and they can have a really great time and be a part of the adult world while still being a kid, and vice versa for older people. You get a chance to be a kid too. So yeah. it's kind of like a one age type of experience, like universal age. Mm-hmm.
Nicely done. I just want to see how you'd respond to that curveball of a question, but you know, you're Goonie, so you came prepared. But yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of people who come to festivals. I think some people are more outgoing than others. Let's say someone's a little shy and they're trying to get to know people, and they say, oh man, you know, that actor I really like or that director I really like is here, but I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Do you have suggestions for those people about how they can interact and get to meet people?
Sure. So there's only one thing you have to know when you come to a film festival, is everyone is accessible. Everyone is a person, and filmmakers really do love it when you approach them and you're earnest with them and you can compliment them or ask them questions. You have to remember, when a filmmaker attends a film festival, it's because they're actually looking to connect with you. That's why they're there. They're there to promote their film. They're promoting something they worked really hard on and that they're really proud of. So they actually are coming for your engagement and interaction. This is really one of those places where you can go and talk with people who are the director, the writer, the producer, the actor, and just have a real dialogue. And again, they're actually coming for you. So even though you're coming to meet with them, they're also coming to meet with you.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're doing them a favor if you go and say hello and take the initiative. You're making their outreach efforts a little easier.
Right. Well, you're just showing a real true appreciation for their craft and their hard work. And I mean, you can imagine when you finish running a marathon, it's nice to have people on the sidelines cheering for you. I mean, can you imagine the New York City Marathon without anyone cheering? So it's kind of the same thing when you have a film festival. And just imagine that these filmmakers are not really, you know, exclusive anywhere where you can't touch them. They're the ones running the marathon at the end. Of course, it's okay to say, you did a great job, I loved it, or how did you do this? And they're really happy to be a part of that. And we've had a lot of that in the past with our film festival.
Right. And like the marching band, you can go up and poke them and
or Nick.
Or gonna something. Poke. Yeah, or poke me. Why not? You know, festivals can be an opportunity for people to get new exposure or advance mm-hmm. their careers. I'm not sure if I told you this. This podcast came about because of an interaction I had at the Louisiana International Film Fest. I went up and talked to Dana Bueso after a panel she did, and we hit it off, and it was just like, yeah, what if we did a podcast? And it sort of grew from there. So you can either give thanks or curse the day. I don't know, depending on how you feel about the show. You're like, why did it? If we could go back and change one thing. But yeah, so do you have other stories of how the festival has brought about new opportunities or has helped people advance to the next level, let's say?
Sure. And that's such an interesting kind of moment that you point out, because it doesn't only have to be film related. You know, you're meeting people from so many different walks of life who have common interests. So we've had people that come in, my friend Valentina Cania, who's a really top cinematographer. Actually, she's from Italy. She ended up shooting a short film with Jency Hogan that was later in the film festival called Madeline's Oil.
And that one ended up winning her a DP award, right?
It did, actually, yes. Yes, it really did. And it was such a beautiful film, and it was shot here in Louisiana. And then we had also another one of our filmmaker liaisons. We have a liaison program where we actually have actors and other people in the film industry take the filmmakers that are coming in, and they're kind of their buddy. It's like a buddy program. So they can take them around the city. They can answer questions. Mm-hmm. If they want to go look at a location for any reason, they can bring them there. So they're really their friend while they're here during the festival to help with their whole experience. And so we had one of our filmmaker liaisons end up going out a lot of times to Los Angeles and staying with the person who actually programs our animated short block. And she's worked at Comedy Central and many other places before. And He actually had a film that was in a huge film festival, and he didn't even know what it was. So she kind of helped mentor him and bring him through all of that. And so there are a lot of relationships like that that just kind of blossom, and you don't really hear about it until a year, 2 years, 3 years later, you know, what's happened. And hopefully in that amount of time, they've already done a project together. And that's really what we want. We want this to be a place of creation.
The mentor or the mentee that you mentioned, can you give the names?
Sure. Yeah. Reggie Hudlin actually was the actor who was in a film that was actually at the Cannes Film Festival. It was shot in New Orleans. And he's gone on to do so many great things. And his career is really taking off, which is amazing. And Scout Raskin, who worked at Comedy Central and tons of other amazing animation companies, they kind of paired up. We buddied them together. So
of those two, who was the mentor? Who was the mentee?
So Scout was actually the one coming in with the most, you know, industry experience from California, and Reggie was her buddy, and he had been working for a long time as an actor, and he's just done an amazing job. And that's the thing, is kind of pairing people up. It's like an arranged marriage in a way before the filmmakers come in.
And it sounds like it's led to a promising relationship, and they've developed as artists. So that's encouraging, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the film industry is very small. So when you have a chance to meet someone who is in California or working in New York or Europe, you know, when you meet that one person, that's a gateway to so many other people. And so it just takes one person sometimes to open that door for people.
Yeah, sometimes meeting just one person can change someone's life mm-hmm. in a big way.
Absolutely. Like your podcast right now.
Yeah, yeah. Dana was nice enough to go along. Or crazy enough, I don't know, but she agreed, and
wow,
here we are.
That's so great.
She was the hair and makeup person who worked on Django Unchained, and so she was giving a little workshop you all helped put on. Mm-hmm. Switching gears here, your festival, and I think a lot of festivals probably wouldn't happen, or at least not to the extent that they do, without the involvement of sponsors. And I think being able to reach out to local businesses and entities is an important skill for any creative type, whether filmmakers or musicians or whatever. So I was wondering if you have any suggestions to our listeners about how to do that, how to have those kind of partnerships where you can bring in the sponsors who can help take your event or product to the next level.
Absolutely. So the first thing is you have to have a vision, right? Whether it's a film that you're trying to make, or a story you're trying to write, or a software you're trying to develop, or a film festival you're trying to launch, you know, to really have a vision and to feel very strongly about it, you know, to be very confident in that vision, and just kind of put your, you know, talk it out with your friends and then put it down on paper. And just go in, have meetings with people, coffee meetings, office meetings, whatever it takes, and just pitch to them the importance of what you're doing and why you feel so strongly about your vision. And I think as long as you have confidence and you're very genuine and you're honest and you have integrity, then people will see that and they will want to be a part of what you're building.
Right. So it's almost like you're not going and saying, please fund me, please give me. It's like you're saying, hey, I've got this vision mm-hmm. that I'm really excited about. This is a chance for you to be a part of it, right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, everything that I've ever, you know, pitched, whether it's, you know, been in, you know, Hollywood or anywhere else, I really believe in it. I fully believe in it. I never pitch anything propose anything, develop anything that I don't believe in with all my heart. And because that entity becomes a reflection of you as well. And, you know, it takes a lot to make a movie. You know, you have to do the same thing with building a film festival. It's really not that different. I actually might argue it's a little bit more challenging to develop a film festival. Now I'm kind of looking forward to starting to produce pictures because I feel like you have a very focused finite mission, whereas a film festival is always expansive. You can always have more customers. You can always let more people know. You can reach out to different communities. It's a grassroots nonprofit organization, which makes it, you know, a little bit more challenging. But that being said, I think as long as you have passion, you have a vision, and you show how people can be a part and have ownership in what you're doing. And like I said, even if it's a movie, whatever that movie is, as long as you believe in it, you can get other people to believe in it too.
I want to take a quick break from our conversation with Chesley to tell you a little bit more about some of the things I do when I'm not working on this show. I also put together various videos for folks, whether commercials or short films or documentary type of projects. So if you or someone you know is looking for something like that, we'll just have a conversation and see if it's a good fit for us to work together, or maybe we can just brainstorm ideas. I also work for Canon, and I do support for the CinemaLine Canon Professional Services. This show isn't sponsored by Canon or anything like that, but I do enjoy talking about cameras, and if you just want to talk about camera gear, lens recommendations, we can have an informal conversation about that and see where it goes, or I can assist on your project. So you can reach me at podcast@ncivitas.com. Once again, podcast@ncivitas.com. Let's have a conversation to see how we can help each other out, because that's really what this industry is about. It's about connecting, collaborating, and trying to be of service to each other. And that's what I'd like to do for you. So if that's of interest, let's talk about it. All right, now let's get back to our interview with Chesley Himesfield. Going back to what you mentioned earlier about some of the festivals like Cannes or Tribeca, some of them, it seems, were founded in context of adversity. And then they try to bring something positive to that affected area. Was that ever something you thought about? I mean, the festival happened after Katrina. Louisiana as a state was still in a state of recovery. Was that ever something that came up in the discussions for you?
Well, the way that I looked at it was very simple. It was, Louisiana has potential. And so whether that's because it came through adversity or because of difficult economic times, I saw that there was an influx and an interest in doing business in Louisiana, but there was also a grassroots movement happening here at that time. So when we launched it, there was Beasts of the Southern Wild, which was just nominated for an Academy Award the year that we launched. And also around the same time, also the Fantastic Flying Books and Mr. Morris Lesmore, the animated short film from Shreveport, from Moonbot, won the Academy Award for Best Animated Short. So I just thought, you know, this is a perfect time, right? You have a confluence of a lot of different factors. Yes, there are hard times in this place, and people desperately, desperately need opportunity. And you have an influx of all this capital coming in, but also these opportunities coming in, but the people, the local people, have no access point to be able to get into that world. So what is the anomaly here? What's the division? Why is there this invisible wall between the people and the productions? And, you know, it really comes down to just simple miscommunication and misunderstanding. Again, filmmakers want to be a part of the community that they're building a film in. And the people who are in the community want to be a part of that production. So it's a lot of it is miscommunication, and things are time sensitive, and a lot gets lost in translation. So when we started, you know, the Louisiana International Film Festival mentorship program, the real overarching goal is to be able to call out productions that are here in the state to actually attend the film festival. Last year, we had Mara Fiore, who's an Academy Award-winning cinematographer from Avatar, was here filming Magnificent Seven. Vincent D'Onofrio from Law & Order was here filming Magnificent Seven. He's just an amazing actor. So there were a lot of people who were able to come out and said, oh, this is the community that I'm in, you know, because unless we invite them out, where are they going to go, you know? And so it's really about being hospitable and building a congregation of people. And so really, you know, having adversity, but having opportunity that's parallel to that adversity is really what inspired this film festival.
And it sounds like you all have had the privilege of showcasing a lot of the prominent Louisiana features and work. So, yeah, that, I think that's a nice little accolade for you all.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's been good. And I always feel like you can do more. You know, that's the thing with a film festival. There's really no limit to what you can try and do.
You know, sometimes you can get a sense of a person or an organization by the things that they won't do. So I was wondering, are there certain kinds of films that you won't show at Louisiana International Film Festival?
Yes, bad ones.
Okay. But I mean, would you show a film from Jerry Bruckheimer if he gave it to you? He's like, hey, we're excited about this. We think this can have a big action impact.
Are you saying you don't like Jerry Bruckheimer films?
No, I do. I actually enjoy his films, but I think some film festivals are hesitant of him. I'd like to think my tastes are pretty broad. I like the art house films and the popcorn flicks, but not every festival does. So would you all be open to it if they're like, hey, we're doing Transformers Rebooted, the Dark Moon Rises in Mars or something? You would be like, awesome, opening night, we're doing it. Or like, well, maybe we'll hold off, Mr. Bruckheimer, sir.
Well, as long as we got the moon and Mars invited to the premiere, we'd be happy to show it.
So basically, it's like, it's conditional. We can show it. And so you would be open to a broad range of films. Would you ever program something where the outlook of the film was something that you didn't necessarily agree with, but you said, well, this could make for interesting discussion?
Well, I think discussion is really at the crux of what we're doing, you know? So when you showcase a film, it's okay to have controversy. It's okay to have a difference of opinion because the filmmaker is expressing their perspective for you to be able to interpret how you wish and then to discuss with your peers. So one year we had the movie Particle Fever, right, which is about the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. And we actually, by the way, have a collider here as well, LIGO, which was recently
Wait,
in the news.
Here in Louisiana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Man, I'm a little out of the loop.
Dude, we broke like all these amazing laws. We just discovered gravitational waves like 2 weeks ago.
That's great. I mean, that's the thing, Chesley, when I live under the bridge, I only get so many updates. So, man.
Right. But see, if you had come to a film festival, you might not expect to know something like that, but you'd find it out. I mean, the fact that there's a collider here in Louisiana, who knew? I didn't know until we had Particle Fever. And so when we showcased that documentary film, it was the one film where we didn't have the proper code, the key, to actually open it and play it on time. So we had a delay in playing the movie. And in that amount of time where there was a delay, people started a heated conversation about, should we watch this movie if it's going to break apart atoms and tell us, you know, God's not real? Or
if this might actually rip apart the space-time continuum.
Yeah, should we watch it? And then, you know, and then there were, you know, nuclear physicists who were from LSU that got up and said, yes, we should watch it because it will be an informed opinion and then you make your decision. Like, so the thing is, it's not even sometimes the movie you're watching, it's the discussion and the change that can come about because of watching that movie. That's the power of film, you know?
So if a film programmer wanted to be really sneaky, he or she could supposedly, well, we're going to start a film and then have it like, oh, it's not playing, sit in the room and then foster a discussion.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a good psych experiment. And it's funny because when you're in the hallway and you watch people as they're exiting the theaters, they have a different look on their face every time they exit. But it's all the same look when people come out of the theater. So they can look happy. They can look despondent. They can look moved. They can look like enlightened. It's just the most amazing thing because everyone collectively walks out with this look on their face. And but you can't see yourself when you're walking out of the theater, you know?
Yeah. So do you like to sit out and watch and take notes like, that's an interesting face. I wonder what was going on with that guy.
I know. Well, what we really should do is like take a video of that and then give you different selections of films that could match it. So like, right. Is this The Martian, The Revenant, Brooklyn?
What film did this gentleman come out of? And was he upset? Yes or no?
Exactly.
That could be like a whole other offshoot of the festival. So in the spirit of discussion, would you allow a film like the artfully told Shakespearean saga of, I don't know, Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or something? Well, beautifully made or something?
Well, it'd have to be a cinematic masterpiece. Yeah. And it'd have to all be like in mute, like no words. No,
it's like, so, ideal if it's in a foreign language, yeah, then that could give it artistic flair. Okay.
Yeah, obscure foreign language. But basically, you know, we kind of prefer the South by Southwest model, where it's really relevant to the people who are living in the community. So because there are students here, you know, college students, because there are people involved in sports, there are people in politics, there are people in academia. I mean, when you have this whole community here, we have to really supply them with what they're interested in. So this year, we're actually going to show films that are kind of your, you know, horror night cultish type of film. Mm-hmm. We're going to probably do an event, a cosplay event, where people can dress in costumes. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's really fun because...
This is like superhero tie-in,
exactly.
Possibly.
Mm. Exactly. Mm. So you can think about what you want to wear, Nick.
Okay. I know. I need to start planning in advance. I should talk to Heather or something. And
exactly. You should go through your closet. I know you have a lot of these costumes. So.
You know, you're so confident. You're like, obviously, Nick, you've got tons of cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically my entire closet, Chesley, but I prefer not to acknowledge as much.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, is it's an opportunity for expression, mm-hmm. right? So it's not just, again, coming to the movies. We don't want people to think of this as like an elitist type of an event, because film festivals can be seen as very elite. You know, it's a, think about it. If I said to you, Nick, what is the most extravagant thing that you could probably ever do? The most glamorous thing, what would that be?
I'd have to think, because I'm not a very glamorous person. So I would just think, like, I don't know, maybe shake hands with a celebrity or something. That would be a...
Going to a film festival?
Going to a film festival and getting a photo taken with a celebrity. How about that?
So that's pretty much accurate, because a lot of people assume that like there's a tremendous amount of glamour with film festivals, which there is inevitably. But uh-huh. at the same time, we want to infuse that with the concept of being very inclusive and very community driven and very supportive. You know, that's why we're doing this. You know, we're doing this as a gift to the community and a gift to the state. So with that in mind, we want it to be fun and glamorous and sexy, but we also want it to be fun. You know, we want people to really enjoy themselves and have the freedom for their own expression.
So it sounds like potentially there might be an opportunity to get a photo with a celebrity while dressed up as a superhero and or drinking a martini or something.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hearing you say. That's what I'm hearing you suggest. Okay. Well, last question for you, Chesley. Let's say your ideal collaborator is listening to the show. What would you want him or her to know about getting the best out of you and or the Louisiana International Film Festival?
Hmm. So collaborator in which sense?
It's an open-ended question, so it could be anyone. Maybe a film director or producer you want to come, or just an audience member, or just someone that you're excited about, like one of the Goonies cast coming to the festival. I don't know. However you want to address it.
I can't see you, Nick, in your cosplay drinking a martini.
that would be your favorite. That's your ultimate. Well, maybe we can make it happen.
Yeah, and then bring like 5,000 of your friends.
Oh, so it's conditional. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were really excited to see me dressed up, but only if I'm coming with like my cool Batman minions
something. That's right. Okay. What I want to express to people is that we have a sublime opportunity that you can actually attend. You know, it's a 5-day film festival with over 50 films from around the world, and an opportunity to meet some of the best people in filmmaking and innovation, music. And so this is glamorous. This is really elegant, but at the same time, it's very down to earth. And so we want to extend an invitation to everyone in the state of Louisiana to be able to attend. And so you can go to our website, which is lifilmfest.org. That's L-I as in Louisiana International, filmfest.org. And you can actually purchase a pass VIP passes are $150, and that gets you 5 days unlimited film screenings, all the food and drinks you want at our receptions and our after parties, and just all kinds of amazing perks. We also have an all-access pass, which is $125 that gets you into unlimited screenings. We have student pass that we've made $20 this year that gets you into unlimited film screenings. Friday, April 15th, we have workshops that are free and open to the public from 9 until 2. And if you come with a valid student ID, you can actually get to see a movie free that night. So we what we're doing is we're giving people the opportunity to attend. And so you can either purchase a pass, you can purchase individual movie tickets. But I would encourage people to support us and actually get a pass. It's a really good cause, and to come out and be involved. And then if people who are listening would like to become even a sponsor, you can sponsor a movie right now for the next 2 weeks at the film festival. So any of the movies that I mentioned, plus so many others, for $1,000, you can sponsor a movie. You get golden tickets to give your friends to attend the film. You get VIP passes. You get to play a commercial of your choice. Well, hopefully a good one before the film.
Right, you're like, it might not be any commercial. If it's maybe terrible, not, like, we might give you subtle suggestions to change it.
So if you're interested in stepping it up and becoming a sponsor this year, it's a really cool thing to be able to do. And also we're open as well to in-kind sponsorships. If you have something your business creates and you want to chip in and be a part of this, we'd really appreciate it. And then you can get recognition for your contribution as well.
All right. Awesome, Chesley. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see what you all do with it this year. Thanks so much for joining us, and take care.
Cool. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right. So that's my interview with Chesley. I'm going to do something a little different with this episode. We'll see how it goes. I usually offer some comments about the interview, but also things related, tangential ideas. I still want to do that, but I'm going to experiment with doing that as a separate episode. So that way it'll give you all an opportunity to listen to what you want. I'm about trying to make this as accessible for you as I can. This show is called the Encevides Podcast, so part of it is my perspectives on things, and I sometimes have unconventional takes that works for some people, not for everyone. So I'm going to experiment with including my commentary on a separate episode, at least when it makes sense. In this case, doing that will allow me to experience the festival and comment not just on some of the things that Chesley discussed, but other festival related things and part of my experience there. So that will probably come out in a few days after the festival, but I'll probably also touch on some of the things we talked about here. So if that's of interest, look for that in the next few days. One quick note about the episode: Chesley mentioned that it's possible to sponsor a film. I think that is no longer possible time-wise, but I'm sure they'll still appreciate in-kind donations or possibly sponsorships for future film festival activities. You can still check in with them. Look for the contact details on the festival page. If you do decide to sponsor the festival or make a contribution, let me know and I'll give you a special shout out on the show so you'll get your money's worth. Okay. Did you have any thoughts on the festival or the things you're excited to see or hear? If so, why not leave a comment? Let us know. Maybe we could even meet up at the festival and experience it together. You can do that on the episode page or shoot me an email. It's podcast@ncevides.com. Also, would be curious to hear your take. Would you like to have different episodes for my commentary, or do you like it when it's all together? You can help influence the way the show comes out. Music for the show comes from Rob Koslow's song True Gemini. Really appreciate all your support. Thank you for helping to keep this show going. If you want to say a special thank you for keeping this show going, putting in the time it takes to do the show for you, why not go on iTunes and leave a nice review? It takes about, 3 or 4 minutes, and I would really appreciate it. All right. Until next time, let's make our future collaborations be better collaborations.